All right, so hope everybody's well and welcome. It's mad that I always sound so out of breath when I start a podcast, but it's likely maybe like a little bit of not stress, but maybe stress where you're just a bit like, what do I say? And then I would say that, hello, I hope everybody's doing well. It's probably like my little like, okay, calm the fuck down, Stephen. But yeah, look, I really do hope everybody's well. And I thought I'd give, I love the podcast because it's so like casual, whereas like YouTube's starting to give me like anxiety, not like real anxiety, but kind of like this kind of like little micro dose of anxiety where I'm like, I know that like the quality, oh, forgive me. I know that the quality of YouTube is like really important, and that's like quality from a like the edit, the, you know, the video content, and yeah, it's a piece of work. Whereas the podcast, I really like to be able to just kind of like just chat. And then if I think there's like something helpful, like the other day I was driving to actually Armagh, because the Armagh Gaelic team was lending me a bit of like physiology testing equipment, which I think is so random. But actually, the more I think about it, it's kind of not random at all. It's awesome when I'm at home because I get like a lot of support, you could say. And this opportunity just came about. I had queried about a bit of testing equipment and, you know, bada boom, bada bing, just so happened that the Armagh Gaelic team had this testing equipment and, you know, they were willing to let me borrow it. So there's, I actually don't even know how I got there. Oh yeah, I was driving and I was doing a podcast on the drive down, but it just sounded a little bit bumpy in the car, and it was pissing down rain, so the window wipers were going and I wasn't really happy with it. But I do still like that it's quite casual from a, you know, it's more of a chat than it is like a, I don't know, like it, YouTube's, it's just this platform that, don't get me wrong, it's an awesome platform. It's really cool that, you know, for whatever bloody reason, I think I'm up to 60,000 subscribers. I see so many amazing videos on YouTube, and I mean that, I see so many amazing videos and they just don't get views, etc., etc. So I'm just lucky that people in a way have taken to what I'm saying, you could probably say, and then perhaps me as the person, which again, there's no guarantee in that world. But somehow I'm 3 minutes into a podcast and I haven't really said what I'm going to talk about. So I am going to quickly recap. I did post a video on YouTube. Sorry, I'm wiping the sleep from my eyes. I'm pretty much just awake. I did post a video on YouTube that was me. What was I doing? I did fitness testing. I wish I didn't now. This, I'm not going to contradict myself here, but if you ever, is it the girl that cried wolf, 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 wolf? And then one day, literally a wolf did kind of like show up and you were like, God damn it. And then she's like dead. Well, the problem for me is I live like, that's the wrong way to say that. I text the physiologist all the time. It's not as bad now with like the ADHD stuff. And but he used to get a text from me all the time. Hey, mate, meet you at 10 o'clock Victoria Park. And then the night before, I'd be like, I might move it to Friday. And then all of a sudden, it would be, no, let's go today. Let's go in the lab. And it was just a mess all over the place. And so it's not the same as the girl that cried wolf, but it's a little bit like, just wanted to stop messing people about. If I said I was going to do something on Friday, well, then I'll do it on Friday. And I had that bloody awful session on Tuesday where I just felt crap. And things just weren't going well. Like I was like in the park, and thank God, like I went later in the day. And so like, literally the Aussie group had just finished and they were flying. And honestly, I would have looked so poor running along at like, yeah, not even close to what marathon pace would need to be. And I was knackered and I was sweating and poof, I was all over the place. And I tried to kind of be like positive about it because that's what you do. You kind of be like, yeah, whew, that wasn't that bad. And then I was like, God, like, and now I'm supposed to do this like fitness test on Friday. And yeah, it was a bit of a mess. So that wasn't ideal. And then it was kind of like, well, shit, now I have like this like lab test on Friday. And there is this like nonsense, like when you just come back from altitude and like you're on day whatever and different people like different days, and it's a learning curve. Possibly you'd think you should be listening, thinking, Stephen, for fuck's sake, you've been to altitude enough now, you think you'd know what bloody days you like or you don't like. That's a very good thought from your brain, and I'm thinking that too. I really should know, but for whatever reason, it's still, I can't explain it. I came back from Font Rameau that year that I ran these really quick times, like in the half marathon. And honestly, it just felt like there wasn't a day that I struggled. Like I nailed everything. But it might just be luck that the way it worked out and what day I came back, you might just find the way the sessions were, you know, planned. Maybe it was on one of the easier days that I would have had. Look, you're not talking like you feel horrible. You're just talking like you don't run like 310 per K, you run like 325. But if you want to start like getting into the nitty gritty, it's kind of like, why the fuck am I running 325 per K when up at altitude I was running 310? And then the brain's going like, have I lost it? Like what is going on? And so it is kind of a big deal, but what I'm sort of pointing out is like, if that was an easy day and instead of running 4:15, you ran at 4:25, because I don't really care about pace on those easy days. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. But if that was the case, well, then that's not as big a deal or a stressor. So like, I'd have just been running along at 4:25 per K and thought, yeah, no big deal. Everything's great. But it's just when you're out there, like, kind of like doing a session where it's a bit more specific and you're like, feck, but I really don't know. So all I can sort of say is that from between like maybe like day 8, possibly, I don't even know now, the night of Morton Games, I'm a real idiot for planning that on like day 6. Like I should have just planned that on day 2 or 3, like everybody bloody else does. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. It makes altitude a bit of a mess, but there is a huge benefit to altitude, and so not about to start dissing altitude. Kind of think it's an absolute mess. I hate assuming things are if you live in any world, and forgive my, I don't know why I talk like a flipping philosopher. Whatever world you live in, don't live in an assumption world. Never, ever, ever. I hate it. If you feel shit in training, I want to know that it's because I'm either tired or I'm unfit. I fucking hate that I have to start counting how many days down from altitude I am. I literally hate it. I think I ranted about this on the last podcast because now I remember Ricky text about the table tennis. I did rant about this. It annoys me. I hate assuming. Never assume. It just leads to problems. And I mean that in sport and in life. If you're sitting there thinking right now, shit, I assume all the time, don't. And that's going to lead us on lovely, because then I do this bloody test on Friday and like Ricky's trying to be polite about it. He's kind of like, I don't think it's that bad. And I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe not. And then I'm kind of like, yeah, this is probably the worst test I've done in like 7 years, 10 years, like bad. And I'm going to explain that, right? There's in the test, what you're kind of seeing is at what point you kind of go from baseline, you could say, where you're not really working, to like, okay, I'm working a little bit. And then that's like LT1. And then it kind of goes like, okay, we're still just working a little bit. We're still just working a little bit. We're still just working a little bit. Okay, boom. LT2, critical speed, whatever you want to call it, LT2, right? And then boom, and then the curve goes up. My LT1 hasn't been below it. I think it's sat at like 18 kilometers an hour for like ever, for ages, right? 18 kilometers an hour, 18 kilometers an hour, 18 kilometers an hour. Last Friday, it was 17 kilometers an hour, 17, right? And so that means instead of 520 in the lab, which is 18 kilometers an hour, now the lab is easier because you're on a treadmill. Yes, it's set at 1%, but it's still a bit easier. And you're only running for like 3 minutes. So again, that's easier than being outside and running for say 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, right? So to be 17, there was no way I could like sugarcoat that. And I'm thinking to myself, fuck me, I've told these guys I'm flying. I'm flying, boys. Just wait till I do this test. I'd even text Ricky like hashtag fitness before the test. Like, what a loser. Anyway, so not good. Not good at all. And we're trying to sugarcoat it. Like, maybe it's not that bad. You know, maybe like, oh my God. Yeah, not good. Not good, Stephen. So then I'm a bit thrown because, yeah, it just wasn't my best test. It was good from the VO2 max perspective because it had gone up, but we knew that had gone up because, like I said, you race a 5K PB, well, it's very likely that your VO2 max is in a good place. That's pretty simple. But everything else is probably much more connected to marathon, the like threshold stuff, the fitness curve, this kind of stuff. Yeah, not good. So anyway, the weekend, I take Saturday easy, and easy has changed because I'm now wearing this kind of like Moxie monitor, and I hope I remember to come back to that, but I will come back to it. I hope I remember to. But Sunday I do, so Saturday I run very easy. I wanted to run steady, so I refused to believe that I was tired, which is ridiculous. And I go and I try to run steady, and then this Moxie monitor is telling me I'm tired, and I'm like, I was about to swear, but I'll not. I was like, fucker. Anyway, then I'm like, shit, like if you're gonna wear this piece of device or whatever, technology, well, you gotta kind of pay attention to it. So there's a couple of signs. You didn't train great Tuesday. You didn't, you know, your test was kind of piss poor Friday. So yeah, you're probably tired, kids. So you should probably slow down. So I do. And I slow way, way, way down. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned from this Moxie device is easy days have to be a lot slower than you want them to be. And I mean slow, right? So I used to run it probably like start at like 7 minutes, 7:10, and then by the end of the run I'd be like 6:20. You know, I just kind of progressed everything. I do believe my glycogen takes a little bit of time to get into my system, and so often that like delay is my glycogen kind of getting warmed up. So I kind of feel like once the like glycogen's ready, then naturally the pace probably speeds up. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, this Moxie monitor, which you definitely won't, and this is a company in Germany that let me rent this called Trainalyzed, and this is what I spoke about on the way to collect this other device, but I don't want to get too distracted, but basically Moxie does SMO2, which is O2 saturation in the muscles. It is phenomenal, phenomenal. There's no better way to describe it. It is legend, right? And I don't say that. Bearing in mind, I've used a lot of equipment, including a O2 saturation monitor a long time ago. And I don't use that lightly. I really don't. I have no investment in the company. They offered me one for free, excuse me, a while back. But I didn't think I could sell it to people because it is expensive. So I live in a world where, oh my God, he's back to the philosopher. The world I try to live in is kind of like, if I can help you, people helping people, if I can help the person that's going to give me something for free, well, then I don't mind taking it for free. When something costs like 800 to 1,000 euro, I'm a bit like, I don't know, guys, like I'll probably not be able to sell that. When this company offered to lend it to me, and I knew they did like a rental sort of system, well, that's different because I did think people might be able to rent it for maybe a month, learn something, send it back, okay? I didn't mind taking that for free because I did believe that I could probably get some rentals back. And so if you are going to that Trainalyze website, I literally haven't spoke about this yet because it's new technology. I wanted to learn about it. But if you are going to Trainalyze and you're looking at the rental prices and stuff, I think it's like 100 euro for a month, which you're going to think is still a lot. But trust me, this is very good kit. Very, 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 very good kit. The heart rate monitor, yep, that'll get set down. The lactometer, yep, that'll get set down. I will pick up the Moxie monitor every single time now. I'm not going to have to buy one, which is extremely annoying, but it's very, very good. That's I'll leave it at that. But if you are going there, it probably would help if you, like, if you're inquiring, you at the very least say that you heard. I don't gain anything. I don't gain any money. There's no commission on this. I think they just appreciate that I actually mentioned the bloody thing because I'm very good at borrowing things from companies and yeah, I don't say a word. Anyway, moving on. What happens with Moxie and why you likely want to rent one is because when you're running, right? I normally go off and I go for a run and you just don't think about this, right? Cycling's the exact same. What happens in the blood is your O2 saturation kind of drops at first because you weren't hypothetically like super ready to go run. And so off you go, you go running. And if you're one of those people that, you know, maybe you don't warm up much, maybe you just wake up out of bed, you drink a coffee, you sit in the sofa, and then you go run or you know, like most people, you work full time. So you just jump out the door and you go run. Well, O2 saturation goes down at first, okay? And bearing in mind, there's a direct correlation, all the lab stuff we've done, like, and I do a lot, as you know, there's a direct correlation between O2 saturation and lactate, right? So everyone fucking raves, excuse my language, about lactate. I was bloody raving about lactate. Lactate's really starting to piss me off. Like, it's just a mess. Like, the monitor might not work. The fucking strips come back with an error. You drip sweat all over them, water. They contaminate. They give a false reading. It really starting to annoy me. They you know, it doesn't read right. So you check it again and then you automatically check, like, assume the lowest one is what it is. And it's like, was it though? Pain in the ass. Anyway, there is a direct correlation. It got to the point where when I was, so I did, fuck, this is what I was supposed to talk about. Yesterday, I did a repeat fitness test, kind of like a repeat fitness test for the first part of the test to get some numbers. And then I did like my session that I was supposed to do instead of 4 times 10 minutes, 3 times 10 minutes, because I'd already done like 7 or 8 3-minute stages to get some data. But it got to the point in the 10-minute stages that I could predict the lactate based on the Moxie. And it's been consistent over like a 2-week period. So when I was messaging the guy that, like, I spoke to their physiologist at Moxie, and I think one of the things I said was, I love that it's predictable. That's what I like in physiology. What I don't like is when your heart rate, like when I first came back from altitude, for example, my heart rate in Ks was, I was doing 1K reps on the track and my heart rate was up at like 166, 167. And I was actually like quite negative in my brain, right? I'm getting all like negative. And the reason I'm getting negative is because I'm like, fuck, like 166, 167, like that's like 2.7, 2.8 lactate. And I wanted it to be like sub 2 today. And it was sub 2 at altitude for this kind of speed. So like, what the fuck, right? And then I checked the lactate and it's 1.7. And I'm like, whew, thank God, right? But I'm negative that like entire session. Kind of a little bit negative. I tried to be like, Stephen, fuck that heart rate. How do you feel? Do you feel good? If you feel good, don't worry about it. I like things to be predictable because then it kind of helps the psychology a little bit too. Heart rate, I'm not convinced. I've been thrown lately with heart rate because mine just seems to be a bit, not all over the place, but just like unpredictable. I've had days where 165, 166 is sub 2 millimole, you know, and that's multiple times with a physiologist, not just myself. And then I've had days where, you know, physiologist is there, 161, 162 is producing like a higher lactate or a lower lactate, you know. It's just, it's unpredictable. I love predictability. I think it's really helpful. I think it really helps intensity control. You know where you're at, okay? So that's what I've really liked about Moxie, right? Very predictable. When I go for a run this morning, which I will, saturation will go down. I'll be running along. If I didn't have Moxie, I'd have probably been like, I feel quite good today. And I'd have trucked along and I'd have probably got the speed down to like maybe 6:20, 6:10. And I'd have thought, this is awesome. I'll run this morning and I guarantee you, it'll just piss me off, but I'll think it's like funny. Because after a harder day like yesterday, you really have to run slowly to keep the saturation in a good place. So if I did my usual, I'd have went running today, I'd have started at 7:10, 7:20, or you know, 4:40, 4:30 per K, and I'd have notched it down, I'd have probably been around 4 minutes at the end, or like I said, 6:10, 6:20. And if I did that this morning, Moxie, as in saturation in the muscles, so I would have felt okay. Heart rate would have been, you know, fairly okay. It would have looked fine. But Moxie, probably, like, because I've learned over the last 2 weeks, that day after a session, Moxie would have went right down to almost the same intensity as yesterday. That means, which you don't do, but that means if we checked like a lactate or you know, we do have another way to read, you know, data now, which is the Moxie. But if we checked a lactate, for example, we'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you've just ran, you know, whatever it is, 8 miles, 9 miles, the pace only went down to, let's say, for example, like 6:10 per mile, which is a minute per mile slower than I was running yesterday on the treadmill, for example. But metabolically, the effort would have been the same, which means you're not letting the body recover. You're just not allowing it. Now, that might seem logical. It's the day after a session, don't push. But if you want to talk about like gray zone, people don't like gray zone training. Gray zone for me, learning from Moxie, has become more linked to an easy recovery run. Easy recovery run needs to be very slow, especially that day after a session. Very, very slow. So it's helped me when I'm running, just pay attention to it. I try to keep the saturation for me personally above like 40%, 40 to 45. I think my LT1 is like 30. I think my LT2 is about 22. And they're not easy to figure out, but pretty easy, because you just start to see what sort of happens is when you're at those sort of like thresholds, they hold steady, like pretty steady. So if you get to like, let's pretend your threshold pace is 4 minutes per K, roughly, you think it is anyway. So you would go off with your heart rate, and you would use your heart rate, and maybe you would run at this 4 minutes per K, and you would keep an eye on Moxie. And if it's just like 35, 35, 35, 35, that's a pretty good sign. You can do the same step test that I kind of do, which is like the ramp test, and you just, every 5 minutes, you speed up. And then you kind of see where your thresholds are at based on at what point the saturation stopped holding steady, right? So if I run at probably 3:10 to 3:20 per K, like I did on Sunday for that long run, you can see that the saturation just sits really steady, just like literally sits between 30 and 35%, depending on what speed I'm running, between 3:10 to 3:20 per K. And then when I go down to like a bit quicker, well, then it drops again. So the percentage goes down, but it still holds steady. If it holds steady, well, then you're kind of still in your sort of like thresholdy zones, knowing that there's two. So LT1, LT2. Once you go above LT2, it does not hold steady. So it would just start to drop. So it would go like 27, 26, 25, 24. And then it's like, okay, well, I can see what's happening here. I can see where this is going. Saturation's just going down, down, down. At some point, I'm going to have to come to a halt, because you can't run without saturation in the muscles. And if you persist at that speed, you'd see that. And then what you'd do is you'd run at the percentage of saturation above where you probably started that one. So maybe for you, it would be 38. And you know, if you run at 38, you can just stick. Right. I'm talking about Moxie quite a lot because I feel like it deserves it. But what I would say is the previous test that I did that wasn't very good, I did predict that moxie would stay the exact same, but speed would change. And that's absolutely accurate. So that's why I really like it, because there's predictability. If you're tired, you still can run at the percentage that moxie roughly gave you for your like threshold, for example. But you don't, all will change is speed. That's really cool. So weather, wind, hills, altitude, environment, you can always just trust that if you sit around that, whatever percentage that kind of is relevant to you, you can know that the lactate, if you did take it, or effort or intensity is bang on. It's pretty cool. I really like that. So I can go run, and if I have to run 8 minute mile pace this morning to, you know, sit between 40 to 45%, I still know that I'm nailing, if that's what you want to call it, the intensity. I'll know that in terms of a recovery day, I'm nailing it. If I run at 6:30 and I still sit between 40 and 45%, I know that I'm still recovering. It's that simple. It's really, really cool. So I did my repeat test. Wasn't nervous at all about it. Just kidding. I was kind of nervous. I had to kind of train. I couldn't like taper, because like I just can't like afford to like freshen up for stuff at the minute, because it's just kind of crunch time in terms of like starting to get in some full weeks for the marathon. So I can't, it came to like two nights ago, not last night, which is obviously the night after the test, the night before that. And I was just sitting there and I was like, I should really do like this, like, and this is something else I changed because of moxie. I moved the like steady run into the evening, which gave moxie, I did that long run on Sunday that was pretty good, like a progressive long run. But it got pretty hard. You know, it's not, I felt really good, but metabolically, if that's what you want to call it, it's still, I'm learning that long progressive runs like that, even if you feel really good, even if you think you weren't working, it still is quite a big load on the body. And so the next day, both my training sessions were very easy. And then again, what I learned from moxie is I then ran easy the second day, you could say, in the morning. So I did it Sunday. So Tuesday morning, I still ran super easy. And then Tuesday night, it's the day before the next test, I was like, like I should really do one of those like steady runs where I'm sort of like helping the body with like fat oxidation and getting back to like a better economy and things like this after all the 5K type stuff. And I didn't want to do it because I was like, this might make me a bit tired. But I guess what I'm saying is you can't taper for everything, right? And so the way the marathon works, there's a certain amount of work, you could call it, that just needs to get done. And you got to get it done. Every time you miss something, you've just fallen behind. You've fallen behind your own potential. It's that simple. So I go to the test. I get in there. Yeah, the session was supposed to be 4 times 10 minutes, but what I sort of said to Ricky was, let's see if we can learn something, if I was tired last week, etc. And it's not like I'm super fresh now, but it was probably tiredness in that like silly sense of the word, that day XYZ back from altitude, 5K, a number of things. So I had passed the sort of 2 week window, which you're supposed to kind of be in the all clear, so to speak. And so we thought it was smart to just get a few snapshots of data. So we did like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18 and a half, 19, 19 and a half, 20. That the reason we go 18 and a half, 18, 18 and a half, 19, 19 and a half, 20 is because that's when like normally my like LT1 or, you know, that's usually where it shows up. That like first, as in the lactate is normally steady, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, et cetera, like up until, well, usually, like I said, 18, but the other day it was 17. If you actually research, and you can read this paper, but Nike released the Nike Sub 2 data, and the data that I seen from like the Nike Sub 2 project, as in like they tested, you know, some of the best marathon runners in the world, around 19, I believe, to 19, or I think between 19 and 20 is when most of the, you know, guys tested, or maybe 18.5 to 20 was where most of, you know, the really good marathon runners, including Kipchoge, were. That's where their LT1 was. Now, I think the testing was done out of competition. So that means, what I mean by that is, like, they didn't test them with a month to go to their, like, their marathon personal best. They'd have been tested, like, in the off season when probably the fitness wasn't, like, its best ever, but it probably wasn't bad, right? So I looked at that and I thought, well, the best I've ever been is like 18, 18.5. And so I need to gain, obviously it would be great to be up to 19, 19.5. I never imagined it would be 19.5. I got to be honest. So yeah, it was 19.5. yeah, that was cool. it was no, I'm not saying it was good or bad. It was amazing. But remember that there's a couple of things can happen with testing. There's going to be variation because obviously with me doing that steady run the night before, someone could throw in a counter argument that actually being tired from a unable to get lactate high could have kept the lactate low. Who knows? But look, I'm not going to start confusing everybody. You know, it was bloody brilliant. I'm running it 19:18 first of all, and it was like, nice, we've stayed at, you know, 1.92, and that's my kind of like baseline. Like, even at 14 it's 2, and then at 15 it's 2, you know, that's just the way my lactate is. And so all the way up to 19.5 it was still 2. And actually Moxie, which we've talked about, was super consistent in terms of literally at 19.5 it was still at 32%, which, that's what I've learned for me. 31, 32% is right around that sort of saturation for me at that LT1. And so then when we go to 20 kilometers an hour, I think Moxie dropped to like 28%. So not like, not super low, but it was the kind of first time that it was like sub 30. And again, I know from having trained with it for a couple of weeks, that's when my brain would have predicted, I think we're going to see movement here. And it went from like 2.1 to like 2.7. And that was that first inflation. And so then you move back a speed, which was 19.5. And 19.5 is by a full 1 kilometer an hour, literally a full 1 kilometer an hour, my fastest ever speed at LT1. Now, if you are like me, you don't take these things like, I think we talked about this in terms like marathon performances, you're only as good as your, you know, second or third one, I'd probably say. Your personal best is still your best one. But in terms of like repeatability, you want to be out there kind of like repeating some of your successes, you could say. So for now, I'm going to be happy that I think it's kind of like 19.5, but two things I want to see happening. I want to see that convert directly to being quicker outside. So I want to be outside training, maybe doing whatever it is, 2Ks, whatever it may be. And I want to see that speed with that either Moxie or lactate in a good place. That's really simple. I want to see that. I want to see good fitness in the lab convert to good fitness outside. Then I want to see it convert to a very good race in Antrim, which I think would really boost this whole let's try, you know, make the Olympics campaign, you could call it. And then also, if I'm back in the lab, I want to see repeatability. I want to, the next time I'm in the lab, which is probably going to be like next week, I want to be in the lab doing that kind of work, doing that kind of like effort around sort of like whatever it is, 19, 19.5, and I want to see that lactate and Moxie, if you want to call it, still in that good place, etc., etc. Otherwise, it's kind of just like a one-off, and then I wouldn't sort of believe that, all right, that might not be true physiology moving forward. You might have just had a good day, or again, where physiology gets confusing is Maybe you couldn't get the lactate up. Who knows? But that was fucking brilliant. Really, really happy about that. The other part of the test that we test is like running economy and then fat oxidation. They have suffered a little bit, not loads, but they kind of need work. And so very, very important over this next 3-4 weeks that I'm doing specific training to get those back in a very good place. They're not in a bad place, but just very important that I get those back to their best. And that's sometimes where, from what I've read, some of that like racing, aerobic power, some of the VO2 type stuff, I think I explained this, it's kind of like a pulley system. Too much of one side of the pulley system can take away from the other, and you have to be careful. So that's all about like the zone 2 running, etc. And I'll talk a tiny bit about that. Okay, so let's quickly talk about zone 2 running. It's important to say, you know, zone 2 in a 5-zone system. 1 being super, super easy recovery. 2 being probably right around where your body burns fat the best. 3 being likely LT1, that first, you know, rise. And so zone 2 for me personally, from a heart rate perspective, so my max is 87 is what we've, you know, sort of seen lately. On a very easy recovery run, it's looking like I need to be around 120 to 130, you could say. Probably 120 to 135, I'd probably say, is like zone 1. And that's super, super easy the day after a session, etc., right? And then that's probably the only time you need to be in zone 1 is when you're really trying to hammer home recovery. That's the only agenda, that's the only goal. Zone 2 is then between 135, I'm going to say, until probably 147. Adding those extra 2 beats is probably just because I move a little bit. I like to get moving. But in the testing that I did, so sorry, let me keep going. Zone 3 would then be 147 to like, lately, like honestly, like probably like, actually I'm going to say like 150 right up to like 165. And this is where heart rate gets confusing, because prior to recent tests, it had actually been like 160, 161. And so, yeah, like I said, heart rate can be confusing a little bit. So the steady day or the zone 2 day is when your slow twitch fibers are taking lactate, and you always produce lactate, right? That's what's super important here. Your body will always produce quite a lot of lactate. What shows up in your blood is the remainder that your body wasn't able to process and get rid of, okay? So in that sort of like zone 2 range is where your body's still producing lactate, but your slow twitch fibers are able to process it well, really well. They're also using primarily fat as fuel if you're well fat trained. That's super important, that part. So this is like the mitochondria, and the mitochondria are working almost at their most efficient in that sort of zone, is what you could say, okay? So you're trying to get very good in that region. What I've read, what I've listened to by some of these like experts, if you want to call them that, so Inigo San Milan, you know, Tour de France cycling coach, coaches Tadej Pogačar, most, and it's, forgive me, I'm not trying to be rude, I've been doing this 20 something years, there's a reason my fat capacity or ability, you could say, is good. 20 years, you know, and I didn't even know how to improve it for most of that 20 years. He basically said most untrained, and that's where I'm not trying to offend you, but probably assume you're, unless you've been doing this for over 10 years, I'd probably assume that you're fairly untrained in this fat oxidation area and be fucking delighted about that, because as you work on it, you're going to get a lot better. You probably have to assume that your fat oxidation isn't amazing, unless you've done a threshold test. And if you've done a threshold test, load up your results and see if you have an RER score at given speeds, see where your RER score is at its best. So my RER score can be between 0.80 and 0.86 or something like that. Even at speeds like 540 pace, 520 pace. Even at speeds up to like 20 kilometers an hour, I'm still not at one. One is where you're using all carbohydrates. So even at 20K an hour, I think I'm like 0.93, for example, 0.94, which means my ratio is still utilizing a bit of fat. But where these zone runs sort of occur, this like zone two or fat oxidation, from what I've heard, what I've listened to, and that's a lot. I do like extensive research, you could say. I don't mess around when it comes to gaining knowledge. So this Inigo San Milan, he says at the point where your fat oxidation is at its best, which for me, like I said, is between sort of like 135 to 145, let's say heart rate, plus or minus, you know, a couple of beats. That's where my body is doing its best job at a good speed at burning fats. The best way to improve that, he said, is a couple of times a week. He says 2 times a week is going to help you maintain your current, call it fat oxidation ability. 3 times a week to 45 minutes to 1 hour sessions, that's going to help you improve it. Now, he is talking about cycling, and that's where you have to be careful, because cyclists is non-impact bearing sport. But what he really drills home is if you are a novice runner, and that means you probably haven't been doing this professionally, it probably means you haven't been doing this for over 10 years, then it's probably a lot slower than you think. My advice would be start those runs very, 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 very slow for like 15 to 20 minutes, and then gradually bring that, you could say heart rate or speed, if that's what you want to go by, probably up to like what's mine. So if I'm running 5 minutes per mile, let's say on race day, I'm going to slow that down by like 20%. So probably you're starting at like, you want to end those kind of runs probably like 20% slower than like marathon pace. But I'm telling you, if it was me, I'd be finishing them even a little bit slower than that. And I'd probably be assuming that my fat oxidation isn't very good at all. And so I'd be starting very, very slow. You know, if I hadn't been doing this for like 20 years, that might mean, even though my marathon pace might be like, let's say 7 minutes per mile, I might need to start at like 10 minutes per mile, which is going to seem like ludicrous. And then every like 10 minutes, I might be like increasing the pace a little bit. And it's one of those days where I might not be nailing the whole run in that fat oxidation area, because like at this, well, first of all, the slower you go, you will be using more fat as fuel. So you're the first probably half of the run, if it's like 10 minutes, 9:30, 9 minutes, and you're still a minute and a half outside that marathon pace, and that's the first 30 minutes, at least you know for that 30 minutes, it's likely that you were really good at fat burning. And then in the next sort of like 30 minutes, well, you might be trying to nudge the body to get better at fat burning in that area, but you won't know for sure if you were still in it. If you really care about this, then you'll go do a test, you'll look at the RER numbers, and when they're at their lowest, as in their, because that's the way the scale works, one is all carbohydrates, so 0.95, 0.92, 0.90. Don't be surprised if you're almost one across the board, is what I've heard. Literally, I think this is an area that most people don't train. I think most people have to walk, stroke, jog just to bring fat burning into their system until it starts to get better trained. As it gets better trained, guess what? You'll be able to run for longer at faster paces because you can burn fat all day, but you cannot burn carbohydrates all day. So have a think about that. Slow things down. It might even be worth doing like I don't know, some walk stroke jogging just to get it in there and to start to get the body a bit better at burning fat as fuel if you're not willing to really slow the runs down. That's all for now. I'm going to let you go. That's 45 minutes. Fitness test, very good. Moxie, very good. Like I said, if you're going to get in touch with Trainalyze, I like Trainalyze because they're doing this rental model, which I couldn't find that anywhere else. I thought that might be an option for people. But yeah, good luck. If you want to check out joggingroom.com, do. I have to probably do a YouTube video today on the long run on Sunday, but that'll be cool. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.